that make for a good friend. Being a good friend or having a good friend, and why it is important. So the first thing we're looking at, a good friend is someone who is committed. Someone who is committed. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. Now it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, what is that talking about? There's several things I wanted to pull out of this verse. First of all, a friend is someone you choose. Notice here it says a brother is born. He has no choice. The family you have is the family you have. The brother you have, the sister you have, the mother, the father, they are who you have, and you didn't have any choice in the matter. But a friend, that is very different. You have a choice. You get to choose the person that you want to have as a friend, the people that you want to have as friends, you choose. And so he says here, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In other words, your family, your brothers, your sisters, your mother and father, they will be there for you in times of crisis because they are your family. Now, they're different than friends. See, they've experienced you and have had their life experience with you. They've gone through all kinds of things. And there's a loyalty usually in a family just because you've had to deal with the same things together and you've gone through and you have some of the similar things that tie you together as far as characteristics and so on and so forth. So there is a loyalty there that will happen because you are family. But that doesn't mean that you necessarily want to hang out with them very much. Sometimes brothers and sisters, they just, you know what I'm saying? It happens every Christmas, right? There's something that is about them that you can only put up with so much. But with a friend, that's different because you're the one who's choosing to spend time with them, choosing to have them in your life. Whereas with your brother and sister, they're going to be there for they're going to be the brother and sister, and there's nothing you can do about that. That's who they are. And so that relationship is there. So a friend is someone who is with you in good times and bad times. Notice it says here, loves at all times. So when it says a friend is someone who loves at all times, that doesn't mean that you spend all your time with them. Okay, that's a little different. That's not what it's talking about. In other words, here's an interesting proverb that kind of underlines why that's the case. Proverbs 25, write that down. Proverbs 25 and verse 17. It says, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and he will hate you. So don't wear out your welcome, in other words, you know. Even family can have a limit to how much they can take of you. You know, you've heard of situations where, and maybe you've been in a situation like this. When we were first married, we had to move in with my brother and sister-in-law. It was a wonderful thing. I'm very happy that they were so generous and gracious to us. But you know what? After a couple months, we were ready to say sayonara or adios or we'll see you later. We're moving on. Why? Because we were starting to rub and that rubbing wasn't pleasant. It was causing friction. It was causing a little contention and it was time to leave. So, you know, we only have so much that we can stand. So if you're a friend, you don't want to be hanging out all the time, every time. They need a little breathing room. So that's just something where this is not what it's talking about. A friend loves that at all times. What it's talking about is that a person who is a friend, a really good friend, is there for you in the good times and is there for you in the bad times. They aren't a fair weather friend. Now that's kind of a misnomer. A fair weather friend is really not a friend. What does that mean? A friend who is a fair weather friend means when it's sunny and when everything is going great, they're there. But the storm clouds start coming in. Where did they go? They disappear. But a good friend chooses to be with you no matter what time or what circumstances or what troubles you're going through. They are there for you. They're committed to you. See, that's the aspect of this friendship. A good friend is someone who's committed. They're loyal. They're there for you. That doesn't matter if things are going great for you or things are going bad for you. They're there for you, and they're supportive, and they're loyal to you. So a friend is there during the good times and the bad times. And here's another aspect of friendship. A friend won't let you come to ruin. A friend won't let you come to ruin. Proverbs 18:24 says this: a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. See, there's different levels of friendship. There is the level where you're just an acquaintance, and you know them, you know who they are, you know their name, and you get along. You're friendly. Hi, how's it going? Wasn't that game great last night? Yeah, that was great. See you later. Bye. It's kind of an acquaintance. There's some relationship there, but there's not much depth to it. And then you have someone who is a companion. There's the people that basically you work with maybe and hang out, spend a lot of time because you're working together, but you have one thing that you have in common, and that has to do with the work or the activity that you're involved in. Or maybe you go someone you like to spend time and have fun with, go play and do things. That's a companion. But then you have a friend. And a friend who is a close friend is what we're talking about here. There's someone who has made a commitment to you. They've committed themselves to you, and they are going to stand with you. So most people you'll know, they're with you. You're in their life because you're useful to them. Most of your companions and associates, most of the people you know, they're there because you benefit them. And same with them for you. They're in your life because they benefit you. And they're fun to be with. And they are, maybe they help you meet other people, or maybe they're skilled in certain things and they can help you and benefit you in that way. And those kind of relationships are good, and there's nothing wrong with them. In fact, they're very healthy to have. It's good for you. But the people you know who are useful, who see you as something valuable in their life, that contribute something to their life, when you go through a hard time and you can no longer contribute, you can no longer be a benefit. In fact, you might cost them, and might cost them quite a bit to be their friend. They haven't made that kind of commitment to you yet, or don't want to make that kind of commitment to you, because that's not the kind of friend they are. And you just have to realize the differences. There are friends who are there for a lot of different things, but if things get too messy, if things become too difficult, then they may not be around for that, because they're not a friend who will stick through those times. So the friend that we're talking about, the close friend we're talking about, is that they won't let you come to ruin. See, a man of many companions may come to ruin. Why? Because they won't stick around. They might not be there to help you and stop you from coming to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In other words, there is a friend who won't let you come to ruin. In other words, they'll be there. They'll stop. They'll fight for you. They'll help you. They'll encourage you. They'll be there for you so that you will not come to ruin, that you will make it through those hard times. And that is a good friend. That's a very good friend. They make that kind of commitment. Now, here's the thing. Because those kind of friends require commitment, you may not have many of them. But you only need a few good men. You only need a few good friends. You don't have to have a lot. Notice you can have many companions, but it says only a friend here. So you don't need a whole lot of good friends because, first of all, it may be too difficult to have too many friends. You know what I'm talking about? It takes time to have friends. And you may not have enough time to have good friends or not many good friends because they may not you may not be able to afford that. And it's just not possible. You know, God can have a billion friends because he's able to be intimate and close and with every person that he knows. But we can't have a whole lot of friends. Now, you can have a lot of friends on Facebook. I'm not saying that, okay? But really, the friends on Facebook are not going to come in and help you out when you're in a tight spot. They might just share another birthday picture with you, but that's about it. It's not the kind of friend we're talking about. We're talking about a good friend, a close friend. Here's another thing. A good friend keeps a confidence. Keeps a confidence. Let's look at Proverbs 16 and verse 28. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "A troublemaker plants seeds of strife, and gossip separates the best of friends." So if you're choosing friends, we're going to talk about choosing good friends. If you're choosing a friend, a gossip is probably not a good idea to have a relationship with. See, a good friend is someone you can share a confidence with, and they're not going to share that confidence with anyone else. They keep it to themselves. What does this create? It creates an environment where you can be transparent, where you can be yourself. You know that it's safe. You ever met people who aren't safe? You ever done the experiment, well, I'm going to share something, I'm going to tell them, don't tell anybody, and I'm just going to wait and see what happens. Well, yep, that news is all over the place. Well, there we go. That's a person who can't be a good friend because they can't keep a confidence. They can't. Please don't share this with anybody. Oh, yeah, sure. Did you hear? Straight off the bat, there's something about them they have to share. Well, the fact is that's not a person you want to have as a friend, because you want someone who's able to share, to keep a confidence, to keep secrets, things that you don't want known for everybody to know, and you want that just to be between the two of you. To have that kind of intimacy and closeness can only happen when they're able to keep a confidence. The next one here, a good friend is someone who is candid. Someone who's candid. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. And it says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. And wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Wow, that's an interesting little verse, isn't it? Now, part of this verse is talking about someone who thinks that it is the loving thing to hide the truth. In other words, they will tell you that they love you so much that they won't be able to share the truth with you. They don't want to hurt you, so they won't say anything. In other words, they have hidden love. They hide things and don't tell you the whole truth about things. Why? Because they just don't want to see you. They don't want things to get messy. They don't want to hurt your feelings. They don't want to have to deal with a situation where someone might be upset. So they just keep things pretty peaceful, and they never really tell you the truth. Now, a person who's a really good friend, second part of this verse says it's someone you can trust. It says the wounds of a friend can be trusted. They won't just tell you the pleasant things. They'll tell you the hard things. They'll tell you the things that you may not want to hear. That's a true friend. Why? Because we all have blind spots. Did you know that? That you don't see things totally clearly about yourself. That you have areas of your life and things about you that are just kind of like you're not fully aware of them. Here's an interesting verse. Proverbs 29:5 says, "Whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet." Now, what does that mean? What he's saying is there are people who only will say good things to your face. And you could be just going down the freeway off the cliff and they'll just chatter. You're a great driver. Oh, you're just going so fast. How do you control yourself so well? Off you go. They won't tell you the truth about the situation, and therefore there's some blind spots that you're not aware of that you're heading toward, and you're heading toward a trap, you're heading toward a fall, you're heading for disaster, and they just don't feel like they can tell you. So they're actually not your friend. Here's another verse, Proverbs 24:26. "An honest answer is like a kiss of friendship." Now this, I think the context of this verse is something like, you know, as you become more powerful, as you have a greater popularity, or you have greater wealth, you have fewer and fewer people who will tell you the truth. There's always a fear that they're there for another reason, not necessarily for your good. And then you have someone who's not afraid to tell you the truth. And you go, now that is like a sweet kiss of friendship. Why? Because I know now they're not afraid to tell me the truth. That this friendship means I mean more to them than what they can get from me. They're willing to risk it all and to lose it all because they care about me and to tell me the truth. So this is something that's really important for a friendship if it's going to go to the next level, is to be able to have someone who can tell you the truth about your situation. Why? So that you can be protected, so that you can avoid a lot of disasters that would come in your life, so that you'll be prepared. Now, you can reject that advice, you can shine it on and deny that, but a good friend will tell you the truth when they see something that's really not good for them. You see that something's going to be very hurtful for them, something that they're not aware of that they need to be aware of, something that they're doing that they shouldn't be doing that will bring disaster. To tell the truth is a mark of love, and that's the kind of friend you want to have. Now, here's some rules for being candid. You should tell the unpleasant truth in private, not in public. Now, just think of that. You've got a big group of people, and now you're going to tell them the truth. Probably not a good idea. That's not really the way to do it. It's always best to do it one-on-one in private so that they are not embarrassed or misunderstandings don't happen, so that they know and they can clarify and they can get a feedback directly from you at that moment. So another one, correct them when they're up, not when they're down. You don't want to kick them when they're down. Now, there's a timing thing here. So when they're totally wiped out, you don't want to say, hey, by the way, I have some more bad news for you. They're probably not ready to hear that yet. So it's better to be there to encourage them and strengthen them. And then when they're in a better state of mind, then they'll be much better to be able to hear the truth, be able to handle it. Okay, here's another one that kind of flows from being candid. You need these things, both of these things, to have a good friendship. And this is someone who is considerate. Someone who's considerate. So you have someone who's able to be candid and someone who's able to be considerate. Proverbs 27, verse 14. "He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted as a curse to him." Now, what is that about? Someone is waking up at 4 in the morning and comes in and says, "Good morning! Isn't it a great day?" They're not going to see that as a wonderful thing. There are some people, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, we're still going on at 9 o'clock, maybe, how about at noon, it's a good time. Why? Because you know that person. Here's a person who's just oblivious about the person they're supposed to be friends with. They have no emotional, no really connection with them of what is appropriate and what's how to be considerate of them. Maybe they've had a really rough night and a long night, and they hadn't got much sleep. A person who's considerate doesn't go in and wake them up just because they're excited about something. This is not a time to say, control yourself. Don't wake them up. You're considerate. Here's another verse, Proverbs 25:20. Singing cheerful songs to a person with a heavy heart is like taking someone's coat in the cold weather or pouring vinegar on a wound. So here's somebody who just doesn't have a clue. They're emotionally not connected to that person. They just don't have any idea what's going on in the interior of that person. They're oblivious. It's all about them. If they're feeling this way, they want to share it. If they're feeling like this, they'll do this. And they have no really consciousness of how what they say and what they do, the consequences it has for the people around them that they're supposed to be friends with. So a good friend is considerate. In other words, they think about what they say. They think about what they do before they do it and before they say it. You ever anybody just, whatever comes in their head, it comes out. And then you say, why did you say that? Well, I'm just telling the truth. Well, couldn't you have done it in a better way or a different time or what? You know, they have no thought. They don't think about it. They're not considerate. They're inconsiderate. In other words, everything that they do is more about them than it is about you. And they're not able to be considerate. So they're not a good candidate for a good friend. I remember when I was young, we lived in Sacramento at a place called Curtis Park, and they had these huge elm trees and baseball field and all these different things in the park. And I had a friend, my best friend at the time, and we decided that we were going to get together at a certain place, certain time. And so we're going to play, catch, where we would hit the ball and the other person would catch or just throw the ball. We're just going to try to get better at our skills. So I'm heading over there with my bat and my mitt and a ball. And I get to the diamond, and he's not there yet, and I'm just waiting. And as I'm waiting, I see a group of guys walking along the side. They kind of look like some rough characters, and I'm just watching them, and they say, "What are you looking at?" I said, "Nothing, nothing." "What do you mean you're not looking at anything? You're looking right at us." And they came over there, and I said, "Well, I didn't mean to do anything, you know." And whack, they hit me in the stomach, knocked me down, and they laughed at me and then walked off. And I thought, wow, what in the world happened? And then my friend came out from behind the bush and showed up and said, "Look what they did to you. It's okay, believe this." And I was like, okay, I don't need this kind of a friend. And that was the last time I spent time with him. Because he had no idea the fear that was going through me. I was a little kid compared to those big kids. And I just got beat up. And he's thinking, that's so funny. Well, he was totally out of touch with what was really going on. He wasn't a loyal friend. He wasn't a good friend. He cared nothing for me. He thought I was just a great joke. And I never had any friendship with him from that day forward. He was my best friend, and he became no friend after that. So someone who is a friend is considerate. They think about how they act. They think about what they say and how it affects you and how it will affect the friendship. And now here's the final one. A good friend is someone who is constructive, who is constructive. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And you probably heard this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It could be so one woman sharpens another. It doesn't have to do with necessarily just a man, but it's anyone. And what is this talking about? Well, there's nothing worse than a dull knife. You ever had a knife that was just dull? And you try to cut something, and it's just not working. This thing is not. You see, when you have a knife that's not sharp, it's not all that it could be. It should be sharp. Then it can be used for the purpose that it's meant to be used for. So one of the ways to make it sharper is to sharpen with other knives. So a knife sharpening, you've seen those guys, you know, the kind of thing. Well, you sharpen the knife and then it becomes very useful. In other words, a friend is able to make you somebody that you should be. They build something into, they contribute to your life in such a way that you become what you should be. They help you, they shape you. They pour into your life. They give you some things into your life. They make you better. In other words, having this friend in my life, I'm a better person because they're in my life. You have anybody like that? Are you like that for anybody? Because you're in their life, they're a better person. The weaknesses, the flaws, the things that they should put aside, and the skills and the abilities that they need to have, that they have but just haven't been released in their life, that person, that friend, is able to sharpen them and bring those things up by being in their life. So this is one of the aspects of a good friend, is it's someone who adds to your life. They're constructive. They help shape your life. They build your life. And that's why Proverbs 12:26 is an important verse. Proverbs 12:26. You want to write that down? Here's the verse. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Okay? So if you're going to have a friend, you need to choose carefully. Now, if you have kids, this would probably be a good project to do. Just go through the book of Proverbs and say, I'm going to find what makes a good friend and what are the people that you want to avoid as friends in your life? Because bad friendships can ruin your life. How many people do you know that had bad friends and they just wouldn't get rid of them? They kept them and their life just kept on going downhill. Why? Because of that person, those people in their life, they had no discernment. And they had no ability somehow to say no and to get rid of people that were not good for them. Because people influence people. And here's some things here. You don't want to run around the crowd that's going to bring you down. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise. Now that, I'm sure you prayed, God, give my daughter some wise friends that they make good choices. Oh, God, help them make good choices. Because there comes a point in your life when the choices you make will stick with you for life. They have consequences for life, and friendships can do that. They can make your life either always better or determine a lot of the future that you have because you've made a bad choice. And so it says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Foolish people are out of touch with reality. They make dumb choices because they haven't any clue of the consequences that come with them. In other words, a lot of times a fool will think, I can do this. I know that, yeah. People that do that get in trouble. Not me. It's not going to happen to me. There's a fool. Stay away. Because they just somehow think that they're so different that they can jump off a 10-story building and not get hurt. What in the world are you thinking? You're out of touch with reality. You're a fool. And to be able to spot that and see how this person is living in denial, they're doing things that are not good, and they think that they're going to get away with it, that it's not going to have any detrimental effects to them, that they're going to be out somehow to have this romantic ending to their life, but it's disaster. Another verse, Proverbs 22:24. Do not make friends with hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. Now, why is that? What's wrong with having someone who has a little hot temper? Yeah, where do you begin, huh? A person who has hot temper, who's easily angered, is out of control. And when you're associated with them, guess what? You get to go on the journey with them. You get to tag along. And you get the consequences of their anger. And besides, that anger may just as easily turn away from the other person to you. It doesn't discriminate. So a hot-tempered person is not a person that you want to try to make as a close friend. That's not a person that you want really having in your life, a hot-tempered person. The truth is that people we have in our life, they affect us, whether we realize it or not. And this is one of the things that Proverbs says is reality. And if you don't recognize that, if you ignore that truth, then you're not going to be very wise in the decisions you make and the choices you make, because the people that are around you, everybody's flawed, everybody has problems, nobody's perfect, but there are certain individuals here that the way that they're going is not going to end well, and you don't want to go on the journey with them. And you don't want to have them in your life, because they will just mess up your life. So, here's another one. Don't envy evil people or try to be friends with them. I don't know, there has been, I think, I don't know how long this has been the truth, but a lot of times young women like bad boys. Somehow it's exciting. But that bad boy never grows up and continues to be a bad boy. And then that woman has to be the grown-up. It doesn't end well. When there's evil, you try to avoid evil. You don't want to get tied to it. You don't want to link yourself to that, because it will drag you down. So choosing a friend, being discriminatory, and discrimination is not a bad word in this context. In other words, if you're going to buy a car and you see that the car, it looks good until you lift up the hood and you see missing parts and things, and the back seat is kind of the seat's ripped, you go, well, I'm not going to discriminate against this car. Oh, yes, you are. You should. You should, because this is a bad car. This is not a good car. This car was going to fall apart on you. So you want to have a car that's gone through a lot of inspections, has a lot of checks, gone through checks of different systems on the car, and that they're all working so that it's a good car to have. It will be reliable. It will be something you can count on. If you don't have discrimination in the choices you make, you can't rely on the people that you have in your life. You need to be discriminatory about the choices you make in friendships. That's what it's saying. And this is a lesson that if you have kids, something that you should pass on to them, that they know that there's certain people, certain crowds, you just don't hang around. You don't run around with them. Why? Because you're going to become like them. You're going to be drawn into their world, and pretty soon you'll become a part of their world, and when you are, you have consequences that are not going to be good. You know, how many kids have we known that hung around kids were doing drugs, and eventually they got to doing drugs and their life was messed up? They were doing wrong things. They were doing evil things. That's wrong. It's evil. And they didn't avoid it. And I don't know about you, as a parent, you fear for your kids that they make the right choices, because the consequences can be so detrimental, so devastating. Well, friendships, they are something that are unique. And in choosing friends, one of the aspects, I read this a comment by C.S. Lewis. He said, friendships are when two people come together and they go, oh, really? You like that too? They have an immediately connection that they have something in common that they enjoy, that they love, that they're good at, etc., that draws them together. And they become friends because of this that pulls them together. Now, what doesn't work in saying, hey, would you like to be my friend? And you have nothing like that happening between the two of you, it's just not going to happen. You could be as needy as you can possibly be and want a friend, but you have nothing in common with them. You have no spark, no, like, I thought I was the only one. And we think alike. We have this in common. That kind of thing brings people together, makes them friends. In other words, it's something that they will always have. And what's different between that and a romantic relationship, the romantic relationship is all about what we are together and talking about how you feel about me and how I feel about you, and it's all about us. The friendship's all about that other thing. It's not about us. We don't talk about, like, oh, don't you just love our friendship? You just don't do that. What do you say? Yeah, I got a new fishing pole. I got this new thing. I love going here. Can you, you know, this poem, this artwork, this, there's things that you have that just draw you together. And that's something that ties you together. It's not about you. It's about something other than you. You're going somewhere. You have a dream, or you have something that you're going for, or you love, and you both have that same love and passion. So friendship, important aspect of your life, and it is a blessing to have a good friend. And you may not have a lot of them, and that's okay. You don't need a lot. You just need a few good friends. Well, let's have the ushers come forward, and we'll take communion together. Is it warm enough in here? Getting a little chilly? I'm getting a little warm. But I don't know if that's because I'm talking. A lot of hot air coming out.
I wasn't going to say that.
Yeah. I make fun of myself. That's okay. Thank you. And while we're serving the elements, let's sing together Remembrance. Remembrance. Let me get the lyrics here. Okay. Here we go. in the scripture, 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking to the church, and he says, I received from the Lord what I pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So when we take up the bread this morning, we remember the fact that he was beaten. He was bruised. He was crucified for us. This I do for you. He did this for me. He did this for you. Why? Because you couldn't pay the price for your sins by yourself. But he could pay it for you. He loved you so much that he is willing to suffer for you. So when we take of the bread, we are reminded that his body was broken for us. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of your very self, Lord, for us. As we take this bread, we remember you. So let us take of the bread. Going on, Paul says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. So he uses another picture. He uses another thing to represent something very powerful. He uses the cup here of wine, which he says is my blood. And the cup is the new covenant in my blood. In other words, there's been an agreement that has been made, a contract, a covenant that has been made and has been sealed with the blood of Christ. This blood, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus had to shed his blood. His blood had to be poured out. It was his life for our life, so that our sins could be covered. And the covenant, the agreement is this. If you believe what I'm doing now on this cross will satisfy the justice and the wrath of God against your sin, I will declare you not guilty. And you'll be welcomed into my kingdom. You'll not only welcome my kingdom, but you'll become a part of the family of God. You see, a lot of times we think the covenant is this. If you behave, and if you do well, you get a pass for all the bad things you've done. That's if you do enough good things. That's not the covenant. That's not the agreement God makes. He said, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you will trust me in what I have done through my son on the cross, that covers your sin, that deals with your sin, and you're not going to try to save yourself, you're going to count on him to save you, then we have an agreement. That's the covenant. So when we remember what Jesus did, we remember that he did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And it's not about our performance, it's about his performance. It's not about what we have to do to get on God's good side, it's what Jesus did to make us acceptable to God. So let us take of the cup together. Lord, we come this morning thankful. There couldn't have been a better friend that anyone could have. You are a friend that's closer to us than any brother. You stood by us when there was no hope. You rescued us from ruin. You were there for us. You're still there for us. We thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice. It shows us how much you love us, that you are willing to give everything that we could be saved and brought back into relationship with you. We thank you, Lord God, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what a wonderful day. What a good day, huh? So, I think I'll let you go. Have a great day.